Good morning. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. We're here every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock bringing you the important and hot news of the day. And we are, Wilp stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I am Lori Hoyt, and today we have our guests, good morning, Wayne Turner. And Wayne is the co-chair of the North Carolina State Green Party. And our own engineer is a passionate member of the Green Party, Dick Paddock. And you are the co-chair of...
I'm co-chair of the Triangle Area Green Party.
So we're very, very happy to have you here because this is an important weekend for the Green Party. You are having a national convention at right here in the Triangle at North Carolina Central University in Durham. It's been started on Thursday and is going through to Friday. So
it's going through to Sunday morning.
Oh, to Sunday morning. Okay. So this is from people from all over the country are here to talk about the Green Party, to work on that. And maybe we can start off with telling us a little bit. I think most of us have heard of the Green Party, but are a little fuzzy and have questions about, you know, what does it actually stand for? Green sounds to me like the environment would be one thing, but why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, the Green Party, and a little bit about what you're working on.
Well, the Green Party, I guess, could be best characterized as a collection of individuals, neither liberal nor conservative, who believe that our country is going entirely in the wrong direction. And based on a set of principles that we call the 10 key values, we believe that we can offer solutions to most of the problems facing us, economic, social, environmental. People tend to associate the Green Party with the environment because, in fact, when the European Greens formed, and the European Greens are something of a force in Europe, their primary focus was working against nuclear power plants. And then they expanded into disarmament and non-militarization. So when most people think of the Green Party, they think of the European Greens.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
But the North Carolina, I'm sorry, the National Green Party is not really any different from that. What most people don't recognize is that Greens see that all of our problems, environmental, social, militarization, are all tied together. You cannot extract one from the other. One of my favorite quotes is from John Muir, who once said that you cannot pluck at a single thread of nature without unraveling everything attached to it. Mm-hmm. And it's like that with politics, essentially, and it's like that with the problems that are facing our country or the world. You work on one, and pretty soon you find that it's connected to another one, and you have to fix that, and so forth and so on. So it's hard to solve environmental problems if you can't solve problems of people having a good place to live, enough to eat, a decent lifestyle, health care. The environment becomes a secondary issue. All these problems aren't solved because people are simply trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So the Greens recognize that all of these problems are tied together, and our policy and our ideology, such as it is that all of these problems have to be solved in a holistic manner. You cannot address a single thing and hope that the rest of them work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that way of looking at things is very simpatico with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, because we are not a one-issue organization. Mm-hmm. And we, too, see the connections between militarism and the top-sided, spending of the budget on this on the military, the bloated military budget, and then there's not enough, or people are claiming there's not enough for universal health care or for other social needs. So it is all connected together. Mm-hmm. So you are here in Durham. How's your convention going?
Well, it's going quite well. I mean, we've only, yesterday, I would say roughly half of the delegates came in, and I expect the rest of them today.
Yeah.
Our plenary session starts this afternoon. We have workshops going on all day today and tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, Cynthia McKinney will be speaking to the... we're not sure she's actually coming in person. She's quite ill. Her last trip to Gaza, I think, has kind of sapped her strength. She's been running around too much between here and the Middle East, and she just needs to rest. But we're hoping to get her. If she can't make it physically, we're hoping to have her on a Skype VOIP address.
I see. So. Well, I know Dick Paddock, who is one of our WILF members, as well as being our engineer here, has been talking about the hope that Cynthia McKinney would be coming. Mm-hmm. But that it was a question, and she is such an incredibly brave woman. She's made now, what is it, at least two trips to Gaza?
Two to Gaza.
Trying to get in, one by sea and one by land?
Well, two by sea, actually. If I understand correctly, the first trip was where they rammed her boat and almost sunk it in the Mediterranean. The second trip, the Israeli Navy literally boarded them and took them to Israel, where she was imprisoned for 4 days. Along with Nobel Peace Prize winner from Ireland, Marguerite. I'm sorry, her last name escapes me all of a sudden. And there was, I think the remarkable thing that came out of that was there was absolutely no news coverage of it. Nothing in the media. It was completely blanked out that the Israeli Defense Forces had arrested a former congresswoman and a Nobel Peace Prize winner and literally jailed them. And there was simply nothing said or done.
Well, that's why this station is so important, because it was covered on this station. We have Amy Goodman right after. We segue. Our program segues right into Amy Goodman, who's on every morning from 8 to 9. But it's sad that it goes to the alternative press. Amy Goodman has covered that, and she's also on TV with images saying this. Mm-hmm. And there's been nothing in the regular press. This is just another example of how ill-informed Americans are about what's really happening. So I hope that she's at least able to be, what is it, Skype is the thing that people use now?
Yes.
Yeah. Because she's certainly a person who passionately tries to live out what she believes and not just talk about it. She walks the walk, definitely. Yeah.
She's a credit to the Green Party and to the human race in general. She's quite remarkable.
Well, you mentioned some of your values. Do you want to just go through what those values are upon which you base your practical? You mentioned that you have 10 key values.
Yes, we are. I hate to stutter here. Our projection, our concept of the projection of political power is based upon what we refer to as the 10 key values. And these values are grassroots democracy, mm-hmm. social justice, ecological wisdom, and nonviolence. The first four are what we refer to as the four pillars, mm-hmm. followed by decentralization, personal and global responsibility, respect for diversity, community-based economics, feminism and gender equity, and sustainability and future focus. Now, as I spoke earlier, if you... You can see how all of these things become tied together.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, grassroots democracy. People need to be able to make decisions at the local level, because mm-hmm. it's difficult to make decisions from a central point of view. Greens are often accused of being allied with socialist and communist. And some of our views are in fact, rather socialist in nature. But we strongly believe in decentralization of power. Centralization of power leads to militarism and concentrations of wealth it leads to concentrations of wealth, and concentrations of wealth in turn lead to militarism. So we strongly believe that as much as possible, decisions should about things that are occurring at the local level should be made at the local level. We also think that economics should be locally or regionally based. This is community-based economics, one of the 10 keys. That we don't think that I don't think my neighbor should be dependent on someone overseas or even on the West Coast for a job. They should be able to develop. We would be able to develop economies that were local and were not so subject to the quirks and ups and downs of global economic, the global economic roller coaster that we've all been in.
Well, that's really interesting. It seems when you're talking about that kind of community economics and decentralization, that it's right along the alliance with the philosophy of David Corton, who we've had here at the community church, and a lot of people are, you know. And we love these ideas, but then how you really get that into the mainstream and how you can be effective is the question. And with the Green Party, I think you've been having quite a struggle, you know, and I know part of that is the way, unlike the Europeans, we have winner-take-all kind of elections. Mm-hmm. And so What are you working on to try to be able to be more effective, considering the kind of media we have, which does not want to move one iota hardly off the status quo? But what are you figuring out that you could do to get the word out about what your vision is to more of the people, the American people?
Well, that's almost a national question.
It is.
First off, let me point out that when I talk about decentralization, community-based economics, the Green Party has no monopoly on this. In this area alone, there are dozens of people that have no association with the Green Party that are working exactly on those issues. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to start local businesses, mm-hmm. the farming community, the local organic farming community is trying to make itself stable and have around it the infrastructure that is needed to provide jobs related to that business. Lala Steele down in Pittsburgh, wrote a book called Small as Possible.
Yes.
I think y'all may have interviewed him or talked to him. So people are actively working on this that are not necessarily Greens by the definition of registered mm-hmm. as a Green voter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly not an impossible thing. People and this is happening all over the country. People are not waiting for a political solution. They're taking matters into their own hands. So that's an important step forward.
And it is.
As for the Greens themselves. We've had a considerable struggle in the United States. We are a young party. The first green meetings or formation of local green parties occurred back in the 1980s. Post-1996, when Ralph Nader ran, the Green Party essentially reformed and reincorporated in 2000. So in its present incarnation, the Green Party is only 9 years old. But we have made enormous strides in that time in some states. States where the Greens have some political clout are, for example, Illinois, Wisconsin. There's 130,000 registered Greens in California. And we have a few hundred office holders across the nation in various positions. This particular year being an off year, I think only 160 people are running for various offices nationwide, some of which are nonpartisan. I guess to answer your previous question is, what are the Greens doing to get their message out? Well, we're simply trying to present it to the public as much as we can under the current restrictions that we face. Media coverage only comes when we host events like this in Durham. The media, of course, is covering this, although not to the extent they would cover a Democratic or Republican event of the same nature.
So are you getting, besides our wonderful radio program, are you getting some media coverage in Durham? Or?
Well, the Herald Sun is covering the convention.
The Herald Sun is great.
And we've had some TV mention. I think one of the national stations even, I was told, picked it up for briefly. And the Independent Weekly's covering it. And
good.
We're also being covered by a couple of organizations that I'm not familiar with. I haven't had a chance to meet their press people, so I don't really know much about them.
I wonder about public radio, if you tried to see if they'd get on. Like the state of things, you know. That might be something even next week to see if there's a program that's on from 12 to 1, and they cover local things, and he's pretty open to some new things. You might call Frank Stacio, see about getting on.
Yeah.
Okay. Dick, you've been mighty quiet over there. wanted to bring you in on this conversation, and you've been working right here locally. Since this is a local radio station, WCOMLP, let me get that in. Want to tell us a little bit about your local efforts here.
One of the things we've been working on in the state, particularly centered in the Triangle, because we have some sympathetic people, is trying to get the ballot access restrictions relaxed. Because right now, what's required is, in order to get on the statewide ballot, we have to have signatures of a number of people which is equal to 2% of the statewide vote in the previous election, which is now huge. Now would make it in the neighborhood of 100,000 or over.
Yeah, let me add some detail to that if I could.
Yeah, sure.
The actual law would state, based on the number of people that voted in the last gubernatorial election, obviously 2008, is that we have to have 85,379 validated signatures of registered voters. As a practical matter, because of rejections of signatures for whatever reason, clerical errors, people being unable to write legibly, or just people moving, there's all kinds of reasons why a signature isn't valid. We have to add 25% of what we gather to that number, so it comes up to 105,000. That's about 5,000 man hours worth of work to get those signatures.
So that is a tremendous obstacle to any party that wants to get on the ballot. Are other states a little more progressive in their opening up access to alternative viewpoints in the political process?
North Carolina is definitely one of the worst.
We're one of the worst.
It may not be the absolute worst, because there are several states that not only have that kind of restriction, but put a time limit of a few, 2 or 3 months
to get
on the time for gathering the signatures, whereas in North Carolina, you can do it over the course of 4 years.
Okay. But that's why then over 4 years, some of the people may have moved to, that makes it so hard whether the signatures are still valid. So I need to take a break right now. Dick is just reminding me about that. Thank you. Just to let you know that we have an underwriter that we're very proud to have, one of our that we're very much in solidarity with, the Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street. And they carry a lot of wonderful political books that you won't get in the big chains. And so they're also a community resource. They have all kinds of posters and information of progressive things that are happening in the community. They periodically have poetry readings, or I remember going to one with people just back from Venezuela and reporting. So they do all kinds of wonderful community building things. And I encourage you to stop in at 405 West Franklin Street and check out the Internationalist Bookstore. Mm-hmm. And just to remind you that we are Wilp's Wake Up Call, and Wilp is WILPF, because it stands for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And I'm Lori Hoyt, and I'm here with our guests Wayne Turner and Dick Paddock, and Tana Hartman is managing the board, since Dick is an interviewee this morning and has changed roles from engineer to being interviewed, because he is a passionate member of the Green Party and has been trying to keep us all informed about why that's his choice and why he thinks the Green Party is really important if we want to make change in this country. And I think Wayne Turner is sharing that passion and that conviction with Dick. So we're here to talk about the Green Party and the excitement of their having their national convention right here in the Triangle in Durham at North Carolina Central University. Maybe before we start running out of time and panicking, maybe you could tell people, if they'd still like to go, people hearing about this now and what the Green Party stands for, how they can they just go and register at the door, and where do they go at NC Central?
Well, for people that just want to observe the plenary, there's no charge. For people who want to attend workshops, we're asking for $15 per workshop
okay.
to defray the cost of the projectors and so forth that are being used. But we're not going to turn people away. If someone wants to come to a workshop and they can't afford it, then they can come in and we'll gladly accommodate them.
And what building do they go to? Because the campus is pretty big.
Well, The entire function is taking place at the Miller Morgan Building and in CCU campus.
Okay.
The general schedule is that yesterday we had workshops. This morning there are workshops, and the plenary starts today at around 12:30. Well, actually 1:15, I think, is the correct number. I didn't bring a schedule with me.
So somewhere around 1 o'clock today, people can go if they want to just find out what's going on. And check it out. They can go for no cost at all to the plenary section at the Miller Morgan Building. You can get on campus. There's parking on that campus, as I recall, and ask somebody how to get to the Miller Morgan Building.
It's on Nelson Street.
Okay.
In addition to the plenary session, there's a public forum.
Okay.
Starting at 3:30 on single-payer health care.
Ooh, yeah.
And one of the...
Today? 3:30
yes,
today?
Yes, today at 3:30. It's going to be hosted and moderated by the other state co-chair, George Friday.
Okay.
And one of the participants is somebody that you have interviewed on the Women's International League show here.
Yeah.
On the Wake Up Call, Jonathan Koch.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, and there will be several others.
Dr. Jonathan Koch, one of the very knowledgeable, passionate people about single-payer health care and why we do need it.
Right.
And boy, the president's getting into so much trouble where if he should have started out at least with single-payer, because now they're trying to knock out the public option even. Mm-hmm. So they're it's just a real mess right now. I went to bed last night with this little prayer that he wakes up, because he said, did you hear in that last interview, he said the truth is that if you want to have all people having health care in this country, you have to have single-payer. Did you catch that phrase? The truth is... Because mm-hmm. somebody asked him, would the plans they're now talking about include everybody? And he had to admit it wouldn't. That some people would not be signing up, maybe because they don't have any money even for a public option. So I just thought it was very interesting. And I just wondered if the trouble he's getting from those Blue Dog Democrats who keep saying they're so concerned about the cost, if he can say, okay, you know, we're going to handle that. We're going to go back to stage one here, and single payer, if you want to really get into it, that will take care of the cost factor, and we'll get rid of all this administrative profit thing out of there, and there will be enough money. Anyhow, let me not digress in something obviously I care deeply about, but to get back to today at 12:30 to 1, people can go to the plenary session. They don't have to pay any money for that. They can stay for the what were you calling it?
The public forum on single payer.
On
yes,
single payer at 3:30. That would go right into that.
Right.
And they'd have a wonderful afternoon to get a real sense of the Green Party and what it's promoting and what it cares about.
We have a couple of other events that people should be notified of as well.
Okay.
Dick, you want to talk about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, a friend of everybody who's ever been there to one of her catering services is Vimala Ramachandran. Rajendran.
Another community resource.
She's
precious.
Going to be catering a party that we're having.
Party. Sounds
right,
good, Dick.
Tomorrow evening. It starts at 7:30. It's been moved up from 8:30, right?
7:30. Yeah, doors open at 7:30. Event starts at 8. We're having entertainment by the Fruit of Labor Singing Ensemble and also by a hip-hop artist from New Jersey, Jay the Truth Stewart. And this is an outreach and fundraising event, and it will be emceed by George Friday and George Martin.
Wow, sounds wonderful. So this would be an event with food and music that, of course, we have to pay a little bit of money for, and how much?
Right.
Just
we were asking 17 at the door, but practically, as a practical matter, anyone paying 15 can get in, and we also have a sliding scale, so we're not turning people away.
So nobody will be turned away, but it's hard to find a place where you can get a wonderful Indian dinner by one of our master chefs in, as I say, precious community resource, Vimala.
I should correct that a little bit. This is actually kind of a light fare that she's serving. It's not really a full Indian dinner.
The Vimala's light fare, I think, will be pretty sustaining, let me put it that way. But, of course, being that late at night, you might want to have a little something before you come. But her food is always wonderful, and she's much sought-after caterer for many events here in the Triangle. So it sounds like there's, you know, a lot of food for thought and inspiration, and then there's also food and fun, and of course even the entertainment is meaningful. The Fruits of Labor will be singing their wonderful songs about justice in the labor movement, and that hip hop artist, one of my grandsons does hip hop lyrics, and so I have been opened up even at my age, to how wonderful hip hop can be with people who are really passionate about progressive issues.
We should point out that this is the only event that we're holding that's not going to be at the Miller Morgan Building.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be at the Marvell Center.
The Marvell Event Center on 119 West Main in Durham.
Oh, that's going to be in West Main in Durham. Okay, and that would be where, near the East Campus, or no?
If you got on Main Street from the East Campus and drove toward downtown, you would run across it. They have construction on Main Street between the block on Main Street between Duke and Chapel Hill is currently torn up, so you have to take a little bit roundabout way to get there, but. On the other side of that construction, across Chapel Hill Street and up a couple of blocks on Main, is where the Marvels is. Now, I should also add that there are plenaries on Saturday as well.
Okay.
There are plenaries both in the morning and the afternoon on Saturday, as well as workshops Saturday afternoon that the local Greens have organized with some local presenters. I believe Myra Dotson of the Blue Ridge Environmental Defense League is going to talk
wonderful.
About toxic sludge spraying on fields.
Yeah.
Also Friday night, Jesse Johnson, a former Green Party presidential candidate, will be showing a film on coal, mountaintop removal coal in the...
Well, you know, we really need an hour for all that's going on. We've been really mostly focusing on the convention. And is there a web? Is there some way people could reach you on with their computers?
www.gpus.org. And
gpus.org.
www.ncgreenparty.org.
Okay. Do you want to? Okay, www.ncgreenparty.org and www.gpus.org. Okay, this is the Wilps Wake Up Call. We're coming to you from WCOMLP Chapel Hill in Carrboro, your local low power station that is bringing you the news that it's hard to get anywhere else. Thank you for being here. We're going to be here every Friday morning from 8:30 to 9. Our guests this morning have been Wayne Turner, co-chair of the North Carolina Green Party, and Dick Paddock, our own Dick Paddock, who is co-chair of the Triangle branch of the Green Party. And we've been, this I think we'll have to have another program. This is giving us, we focused on your convention and things that are happening, and maybe we can have another program some other time. I think Tana really has some questions she'd like to talk about political ideology and really deep stuff, and we'll go into that at another time, and would love to have somebody from the Green Party on again, because I think we're needing all alternative voices are so important here. Our voice, the Green Party voice, we need to hear what we can do to get our country out of this mess. And I want to thank you for our listeners, and tell other people about us. Because I think once people hear us and know how to have access, they want to be regular listeners.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here.